After 12 years in the minor leagues, I don't try out. Besides, I don't believe in quantum physics when it comes to matters of the heart.
What do you believe in then?
Well, I believe in the soul. The cock, the pussy, the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, that the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night.
Welcome back to Whiskey Flick, your home for great whiskey and even better flicks. I am your host, Terrence Dunn, and I am so excited to return once again to the Church of Baseball this week for more on the Kevin Costner classic, Bull Durham. On today's show, we're going to spend some time with your thoughts on the film. We're also going to get a chance to hear more from Matt and our special guest, Nate Molinay from the Taco Court Fantasy Football Podcast, all about the best baseball movies. And as always, we're going to have our latest news, notes, the soundtrack, and more. Before we get this Whiskey Flick party started, let's talk about what's on tap for today. So I'm actually drinking a recommendation from Matt. Can't remember if he recommended it on the pod or off the pod, but it was a recommendation of a ginger beer replacement. So I'm actually drinking Jameson with Canada Dry Bold. I've not tried Canada Dry Bold prior to having this drink, and it's cool. A little more actual ginger flavor than the average ginger ale. So a really nice combo with the Jameson. I'm digging a little bit of a spicier take on Jameson and ginger. So that's what we're rocking here as we wrap up our look at Bull Durham. All right. So previously on Whiskey Flick, we had a great time breaking down this truly all-time sports film classic with myself, Matt, and Nate. We spent a lot of time talking about our own personal love for baseball and, of course, the sense of romance in and around the game, right? There's literally the movie For the Love of the Game that talks a lot about the romance inherent in baseball. I think the exact phrase that Nate used on the episode was baseball is so romantic, and I think he even tweeted that after the episode. We spent a lot of time talking about the history and the challenges that the team endured getting the film made, and we talked about the now legendary cast and crew, right, that trifecta of Kevin Costner, Susan Sarandon, and Tim Robbins right up top, and of course the amazing crew that brought us Bull Durham, including the writer director Ron Shelton. The movie's very accurate representation of baseball, specifically what life is like in the minor leagues. We were really fascinated that it dealt with both kind of the big events, but also the mundane pieces of, you know, the bus rides, you know, what are they really talking about in those mound visits? We broke down the very funny and award-winning and nominated script that was written and directed by Ron Shelton, who was himself a former minor leaguer, again, bringing that great sense of reality for the baseball scenes, while at the same time giving us a script that is chock full of great lines. And what we discovered in revisiting the film was timeless jokes. It was nice to see that a film from the 80s with a bit more adult content hadn't aged poorly. So it was nice to find that the jokes were not only still funny and relevant, but possibly even more so. And finally, we wrapped it up by talking about the key themes of the film, including what Nate and I agreed was love of the game in all of its forms. And Matt shared his thoughts on the challenges that accompany success and growth, both as people and as players. So a lot of different things that we broke down on Bull Durham, but you all had some thoughts that you shared after our most recent episode, specifically on our Twitter polls. So we asked each of you to let us know first what you thought of Bull Durham. 50% of you said that you loved it. I was really, really excited to see that 50% of you said you liked it. So I mean, 100% of the people who took the survey were definitely on board in varying degrees with what Bull Durham was all about and really, really liked this kickoff to the baseball season. Our second question that we asked our Twitter folks was, what did you like the most about Bull Durham? So we gave a couple of choices. We said baseball, we said the humor, and then also we said the romance, right? We said the three kind of big pillars of the film, where it's a baseball film, it's a comedy, and it's a romance. 25% of you each said baseball and humor. Nobody said romance. It's kind of a bummer, but 50% did shout out all of the above. So it seemed like everybody really loved that chemistry and that concoction of a great baseball movie, a really funny comedy, and a really engaging romantic story to accompany all those pieces together. Number three, we talked about what an absolute, Matt referred to him as an absolute G, Kevin Costner is. And so we wanted to know a little bit more about what your favorite Kevin Costner movies were. And the survey was evenly split. 50% of you were big fans of Dances with Wolves, and 50% of you actually gave love to a different baseball movie, and that is Field of Dreams. I know Matt mentioned in the episode that Field of Dreams might be a bit more iconic than Bull Durham. It's also probably a bit more family friendly, which means more people have probably seen it, but definitely all of these are great, incredible films and really speak to the career that Kevin Costner has put together just based on really celebrating the things he loves, again, including baseball. We finally wrapped it up by asking about what is your all-time favorite baseball movie? And we gave a couple options. Obviously, there's tons of baseball movies out there. 50% of you went with The Sandlot, which is actually coming up next week. So very, very excited about that. A few others that were shouted out in the comments included the film Fever Pitch. I know Nate is a huge fan of Fever Pitch, so cool to see that one get a shout out, and A League of Their Own, which is an incredible film, one that we're not doing this month, but one I could definitely see us doing in the future because it really is a kind of a legendary film. I watched it not that long ago, and it also holds up incredibly well. So thanks again, as always, for participating in our Twitter polls, hopping in those comments and sharing their feedback. We always love to hear from you about the movies that we're watching or anything else that's on your mind. So remember, you can always check out any of our social at Whiskey Flick Pod to join the conversation each week as we dive into each of these movies.
I believe in the Church of Baseball. I've tried all the major religions and most of the minor ones. I've worshipped Buddha, Allah, Brahma, Vishnu, Siva, trees, mushrooms, and Isidore Duncan. I know things. For instance, there are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball. It's a long season and you gotta trust it. I've tried them all, I really have. And the only church that truly feeds the soul day in, day out, is the Church of Baseball.
Now, we did mention, we asked a little bit about all-time favorite baseball movies. And of course, we had a great time on last week's show talking Bull Durham and baseball with Matt and our guest, Nate. We had such a good time that we just had to have everyone back for just a little bit more. So to wrap up our look at Bull Durham, we're going to check back in with Matt, Nate, and myself as we spent some time drafting some of our all-time favorite baseball movies. Of course, we couldn't have the host of the Taco Corp Fantasy Football Podcast on Whiskey Flick without bringing a little bit of the Taco Corp Fantasy Football Podcast over. And Nate, one of the things that your show is known for is drafts. And so if you're
58 West King's known for it.
Get off.
Sorry.
Is that still podcast?
So yes, they're a staple. And in fact, with this being a pod in which we're talking about baseball movies, we thought it would be cool for us to do a baseball movies draft. Now, there's a little bit of a twist here because Nate and I actually already did a baseball movies draft on the Talk Report podcast. If you want to check that out, it was episode 53. We did it back in November. But this will be kind of interesting because one, I did not at the time know Nate's favorites. I do now. So there's a little bit of a strategic advantage and he knows mine too. But also we didn't have Matt in the mix, kind of, you know, shaking things up potentially there. But we will use the same format that Talk Report does. So we'll have a snake draft. We'll pick our top five. And of course, Nate, with you being our guest this week, it's only good manners that you would get the chance to pick our draft order. So Nate, how are we drafting today?
Yep. The fact that you bring up that, hey, I already know Nate's this, I'm going to go first and you're going to be in the middle. You got the shit picks, Terrence.
Whoa,
Matt gets a turn. Okay. I get a turn. Let's see how well you can do. So Nate, Terrence, Matt, and I'll start it off my number one overall pick. I've already brought it up, but you guys already know what it is. And I'm picking number one so you don't steal it just to stick it to me. And it's Fever Pitch. Everything about Fever Pitch is the best. You got a love story. It's about two people who are on two separate paths in life, and they have different passions and things like that, and they don't understand them, and they don't get why the other one can't accept them. And they ultimately, Drew Barrymore jumps over, you know, I wish she would have jumped off the Green Monster. It would have been great. But she jumps over center field, runs over to the first base side, tells him, hey, don't sell your season tickets. I love you how you are, right? And it's just people getting together and loving each other for who they are, not trying to change them because of, you know, they're in their 30s or like that, right? So fever pitch number one overall. Terrence, you got the second pick.
Nice. Yes, I do. And I'm mainly going to pick this one first because I don't think it's going to survive on the board very long. I'm going to take what is probably, well, I don't know, man, like Bull Durham did definitely climb up in the list for me, but I think this is my number one from Kevin Costner, and it's Field of Dreams. I have a lot of kind of emotional connections with that movie, so I will be taking Field of Dreams with my first pick. Matt, you've got the turn, so you get two picks.
Yeah, sure do. You stupid sons of bitches. It's Bull Durham, number one. And number two, For Love of the Game, a movie I briefly mentioned in this movie. Another romantic baseball movie. But if you put it as just a baseball movie, like they had a real stadium, they had real fans in the audience in the stands that they would rotate for different shots. He actually threw pitches and was throwing hard during the game. He would actually run off the mound to catch some of the balls for some of the scenes, like he did all of the baseball. Like, one knock on Bull Durham you could say is some of the actual like baseball playing scenes are like Tim Robbins looks like he's throwing 27 miles per hour in some of these scenes, right? Like, it does not look like he's throwing. Kevin Costner actually looks like he's wheeling and dealing in that movie. Vin Scully, I hate, look, I'm an Angel fan, I'm not a Dodger fan, but I love Vin Scully. And Vin Scully, he even brings his own flair to the movie. Like, when he completes a perfect game, he's like, the cathedral that was Yankee Stadium belongs to a chapel. And it's like, just a great line. I get goosebumps right now saying it. Yeah, there's a lot of romance in that movie, but I love that movie. When he like signs the ball, tell him I'm through for love of the game. Billy Chappell. And he pitches a perfect game. Ah, such a good movie. So that's my number two.
Do you cry in those moments in baseball movies, right? When he gets there and he's pitching his first game and his wife gets to see him and all, you know, all these other people come. Do you shed a tear?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am a baby. It is terrible. Like, I need tissues. My entire sweatshirt's like wrung out because I got tears all over the hoodie part of it. It's bad. It's so good.
John C. Reilly's the catcher in this movie. It's one of my favorite John C. Reilly movies. He's pitching to some of his ex-players and they show like flashbacks of him helping them move. And For Love of the Game is an amazing movie. So I'm taking that number two.
It's back to me. And I'm going to go with another one that I don't think will live on the board very long and is one I should be picking because it's the movie I picked for this podcast. And it's The Sandlot. That one more because I grew up with that movie. So I watched it a lot as a kid. So I have a lot of really kind of strong kid growing up with baseball memories tied to that one. So taking The Sandlot. Nate, you get the next turn. What you got for us?
Yeah, so my next one, oh, you guys screwed up. So cool story, right? You brought up Field of Dreams and it kind of brings in, you know, a little bit of Shoeless Joe Jackson, you know, the 1919 White Sox are there and this is their heaven because they get to keep playing baseball after they were banned. But there's a problem with Field of Dreams. And it's the fact that Shoeless Joe Jackson bats from the right-handed batter's box in that movie and he was left-handed. Therefore, you screwed up by picking a bunk movie and I'm going to pick Eight Men Out. So Eight Men Out is a story about that, as they may be known, the Black Sox, because their owner was so cheap, which is why they kind of gambled on the games. He wouldn't pay good salaries. They stopped paying them their laundry services and stuff like that. And the players revolted and refused to wash their jerseys. And the sports writer wrote them as, now they're not the White Sox anymore because their uniforms are so dirty. They're the Black Sox. And I'm a big Shoeless Joe Jackson guy. I love the dude's story. He got, you know, he ended up being proven innocent out of the eight people. He was the one that did not, you know, intentionally throw games or anything like that. He batted, I believe, 375 in the 1919 World Series. He set the record for most hits in a World Series then at the time, which was 12. The White Sox, I believe, scored 11 total runs in that entire eight-game series. He hit six of the RBI and scored the other five runs. I think he had 8 or 13 plays out towards him in left field. Zero errors. The only error that came was when he was hosing a dude back at home and another player came and knocked the ball down to create an error. Maybe it was an error on the catch. Stuff like that. He should be in the Hall of Fame. It's one of those things about the story, you know, the history of baseball and stuff like that. But yeah, Eight Men Out, it's great. My number three, you guys picked some pretty good ones. My number three, I think I'll go with The Pride of the Yankees. It's a Lou Gehrig story coming up. And cool thing about the movie is Babe Ruth, you know, Babe Ruth used to play in a lot of movies. He played himself in a lot of movies. That's what made him really big, was that, you know, he was a big star because a lot of his off the field stuff was really terrible. He was always drunk in the streets, things like that. He would be drunk, showing up to games and stuff. He was just better than everybody. Pride of the Yankees is the Lou Gehrig story of him coming up and then his disease, playing with the Yankees, how much he meant to the team. Little little things like that. He was just a kid who, you know, started playing ball in the streets of New York and made his way. Cool thing too, real quick, while I'm on the Joe Jackson kick, because I don't have any other movies with Joe Jackson, Babe Ruth actually mimicked the way he bats off of Joe Jackson. And the same thing with Ty Cobb. Both of those guys, who were two of the best hitters of all time, stated that when Joe Jackson was playing, he was the best purest hitter of all time. The guy, he almost hit over 400 in his career, Joe Jackson in general, right? Babe Ruth mimicked what he did to become the, you know, Sultan of SWAT, Great Bambino, and all that kind of stuff after Joe Jackson. So that's kind of one of the things why I really love Joe Jackson, because he got the black ball. A lot of people don't talk about him. Everyone's like, Babe Ruth's the GOAT. It might have been Joe Jackson, actually. He just got cut from baseball.
I love it. And again, like the deep history, right? Like we've already spanned decades, even just in our movie selections, right? So like we're even getting into like some deep history of movies here. So very cool. Well, my number three, I'm actually going to go with, again, another one that I kind of grew up with, A League of Their Own, which was one that I watched a ton when I was a kid growing up. I think it's an awesome kind of like true to life story. I love the actors and the actresses that are in the film. I love the story that it tells. It's got that kind of right mix for me of a baseball movie of humor and heart, which I really appreciate. Like, it's a movie that's going to make you like laugh a shitload and you're going to be crying by the end of the movie. So yes, A League of Their Own, 100%. And I can tell from the murmurs that I may have fucked my co-host on that one. So Matt, you get the turn, so you at least get a chance to recover.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my next picks. I love A League of Their Own. Another movie that does a good job of breaking down the grind that is a baseball season, the road trips on the bus, some of the outside of baseball stuff that I guess I got to scram a little bit here because I had my next two movies picked out. You chose one of them. I'll go to my next one, which is The Natural, another romantic baseball movie. Awesome. It has probably one of the most iconic scenes from any baseball movie of all time, in the top of any movie of all time, where he hits the ball into the lights and he's running around the bases while it's sparking all over the field and there's blood on his jersey. So good. So good. I used to watch that a lot as a kid. It's one of my dad's favorite movies. So I've seen that a million times.
I call cap on that. No way that dude hit the lights.
Probably not, but you know, I don't let Roy Hobbs be, man.
Yeah.
It's Redford too. Like, it's so good. All right, so that's my number three movie. And for my number four, I think I'm going to go a different direction here. Probably one of the baseball movies I like to watch the most, and that was Major League. Funny. I mean, we're getting away from the romantic side of baseball and we're leaning into the humor side that some of these, but like Charlie Sheen, like Wild Thing. I was Wild Thing for Halloween when I was like 22. I had a jersey, had a little fake earring. I did my haircut like it. It was good stuff. Got to wear tight white pants and a big cut. Told people I wasn't wearing a cup. You know how we do. You know how we do. Are you wearing a jock strap? Like, nah, man. That's all Camp Snoopy. That's all me. Dude.
I'm all nuke, baby. All nuke. We didn't talk about how big that package is. That
I
thing
know,
is
right?
Massive.
But like, also, like, his nickname is Nuke. It could have been because of his penis. Could have been his arm. But like, it was really came to him because he was trying to have sex so bad. She's like, you need to calm down, or you're gonna have a nuclear meltdown. And he was like, I'm Nuke. So like, that had such a great writing job in that movie.
Is the story about Nuke? Like, that's six different story arcs that we don't know what Bull Durham's exactly about.
All right, so yeah, I went The Natural and Major League. I say my fifth one because no one's gonna choose my fifth one, and I feel very cool.
You definitely took one of mine because I had Major League on the bubble to potentially be the next pick. It's so fucking funny. It holds up really well. So I will go with the next one that I had on the list, which is a important movie for Dodger fans and an iconic Chadwick Boseman performance, and that is 42. Freaking love that movie. I just watched it actually not that long ago, like 6 months ago I watched it again. And I just love the way that they put that story together. Obviously, we lost Chadwick Boseman, so any opportunity to kind of see, like, it's just one of his many incredible performances that he's given, but to see him in that iconic role as Jackie Robinson was really, really cool. So give me 42 for my number four pick. Nate, you've got your final turn here.
Yeah, this is cake. And if I pick one of the movies that Matt ends up picking, you got to say something that's really good about me and really degrades your other co-host on 58 West King Tony.
Sure. How are you going to know? I could just lie, right? Should I write it down right now?
No, we got to make it true, right? Baseball's about the facts and the numbers. All right, so I'm going to go with, because it reminds me of my dad, right? My dad's getting up there. He's losing his mind a little bit. Not because he's got anything. He's just nuts, right? And he forgets a lot of things. But one thing he always remembers is baseball. So my number four is going to be Trouble with the Curve. That's got Clint Eastwood, Justin Timberlake. I think it's a banger of a movie, right? But the dude can just understand little things about baseball by hearing the sounds. And I think that is amazing, right? a little history of this next movie, my number five and my final pick. It kind of goes back into the history of baseball, right? Up until 1956, the Little League World Series was running, and an American team had always won the Little League World Series. And 1957 was the first year that a non-American team won the Little League World Series, and that was Mexico. I believe they're out of Monterrey, Mexico, or something like that. And it was the biggest story in the world because the U.S. was baseball, right? America's pastime and all this kind of stuff. But it's a global sport, and it brought light to the other areas of the world that really did baseball. And so my number five is The Perfect Game. It's an entire movie about the story of the Little League World Series and a team from Monterrey, Mexico, impoverished towns, you know, little to nothing. And it's just about the simple things about baseball, right? You got a ball, you got a stick, you can use your hands to catch it or anything like that. You don't need a lot. You just go out there and do it. You work on your craft and you can achieve something. And they did it at a very young age to shock the entire world, the U.S. in general, which opened up the big gap for Little League World Series and the time and investment that was put into other nations from a very young age in baseball that plays a big part in today.
It was not one of my films. Both good choices though.
Damn it.
All right, you got one more chance to dodge the bullet. So with my final pick, and I'm like literally up in the air, I'm pretty much like flipping a coin right now, but I feel like I'm almost obligated to pick this because if we make it through a whole draft and nobody picks this movie, it feels a little off to me. So I will go with the original Bad News Bears. I just feel like how can we not include the Bad News Bears on a list about baseball movies? So I'll roll with the original Bad News Bears. Funny, classic, holds up.
I think that was one of the movies that I picked in our draft, Terrence, but then since then I've watched The Perfect Game and it became a boomer to knock out Bad News Bears.
I literally, like, I was gonna pick a different movie and then I realized no one had picked it and I was like, shit, are we really gonna talk about 15 fucking baseball movies and not talk about Bad News Bears? Like, yeah. one of the OGs of the whole baseball comedy. So I felt kind of backed into a corner on that one. My runner-up was Rookie of the Year, in case you're curious. Matt, what is your final pick for us here?
So my movie is specific to me versus you two. Also, it's very, very relevant now because of some of the things that are happening in baseball. For context, baseball strike, and they've done some rule changes, right? In 1994, a film came out called Angels in the Outfield. It was a remake, but it's my preferred of the two. Christopher Lloyd, you know, Whiskey Flick favorite here on the podcast. Got young Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah, it's got Dan Glover. This grizzly coach who adopts some kids. Because, you know, the kid's dad's a shitty dad who won't come back till the angel. And the angels suck, right? And that was a big part of being an angel fan growing up is they didn't win anything and they needed help. They needed angels in the outfield to help them. Now we need MLB to create rules so that Ohtani can continue DHing after he's taking out of a game as a pitcher, which I'm excited about. Like, I realize high level Major League Baseball is saying, like, oh man, they have two generational players on this team and they can't compete. So let's do whatever we can to give them their angels in the outfield. But I do like the movie. I watched a lot as a kid. Obviously, I'm an Angel fan, but I also think it's a fun movie.
That's a great pick. I actually did have it. I did have it on my list.
Do you have any other honorable mentions, Terrence?
I mentioned Rookie of the Year, which I was going to go for before I went for Bad News Bears. I think my only other, I guess, I'll maybe give one that maybe you guys wouldn't already shout out, which is the movie Everybody Wants Some, about like a college baseball team, just came out a few years ago. It's a really funny movie. I enjoyed that one. But I think those would probably be the two main ones I'd shout out that we haven't already talked about. Nate or Matt, any ones we missed on your list?
Not as much as it was a baseball movie, but I do like the movie Moneyball. I hate that it's about the Oakland Athletics because I don't like the Oakland Athletics, but I do like the movie.
That's a cool movie that's about like believing in something, right? And like belief in yourself, getting other people to believe in things. Like there's a big life thing there too that I think is pretty cool, like going against the grain.
And then Cobb, I don't know if Cobb necessarily like a high-end baseball movie, but like Tommy Lee Jones as Ty Cobb, super great performance, very memorable, good movie.
I think out of the other ones that you guys didn't mention, the only other one I had was The Rookie with Dennis Quaid. He seems to be a pretty good baseball guy too.
That's a good one.
There's a good heartfelt story about, you know, the journeyman process and stuff like that. Cool scene where he stops at a pedometer on the side of the road, throws a baseball and it shows like 70 whatever, right? But the lights flicker because it's in West Texas and it shows that he threw 90 something miles an hour.
What's more cat, Robert Redford hitting the lights or
Dennis
47-year-old Quaid throwing 90 fucking 7 miles an hour in West Texas?
Old man strength. All you need is one arm. You throw the elbow out one time, you're good to go. You could throw 90, bro.
Have you ever pitched before?
No way I pitch. I'm a catcher.
It's not that easy.
That's my life.
Even when I was in my best shape and I had a good arm, I could barely hit 74, 75. And that was when I was like nuts up, just juiced on 18-year-old spirit, just hadn't had sex yet, full of power. Like, no, still couldn't throw more than 74 miles an hour. So I'm calling, I don't know.
I mostly played third and second base. Mostly third base. I love third base, the action of it. I don't have good depth perception, so the ball comes quick, so it's really easy for me to play third. I'm good with the hot shots. I can't play any outfield or anything like that. So
played a little bit of second, a little bit of outfield, a lot of bench.
Yeah.
Played a lot of bench.
You know, everybody needs the guy who does chance. That's a big part of Bull Durham, too.
The off chance anybody I play baseball with actually listens to these podcasts, they'll be like, well, if anything, Matt was honest about how much he sucked at baseball, but I still love
him. At least he was forthright. I never played, so I didn't have any favorite position because, like I said, I played co-ed beer leagues, and I was buzzed and didn't play great, so I think I had any preferred position.
Relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. It's more democratic.
Thanks again to Nate from the Taco Corp Fantasy Football Podcast for joining us to kick off the baseball season and really help get us hyped. You heard some of our favorites, and now we want to hear from you. Give us a ring on the Whiskey Flick hotline at 818-660-6369 and let us know what is your favorite baseball movie and tell us why you love it. We're going to gather up all those voicemails and we're going to share them on our final baseball episode of the season in just a couple of weeks. So overall, final thoughts on Bull Durham. Man, we had a total blast revisiting this movie. It had been some time since any of us had seen it, and it was really awesome to revisit this incredible comedy that just holds up incredibly well and really did a good job of getting us all super hyped for baseball season. It was really, really great to see, obviously, Kevin Costner and all of these incredible stars in rare form, and really focusing on a story that was ultimately simple, but also fun, right? Breaking down kind of the love of the game, giving us a lot of fun jokes along the way, giving us a really engaging romantic story along the way, all while kind of imparting to us some of the challenges that we can expect to face and really giving us some unique and important life lessons about the value of growth and what it takes to grow as an individual and ultimately the romance that's inherent in baseball and really all around us. So it was a really, really nice opportunity to spend time with this film. It's now one that I'm probably going to watch on a more recurring basis, and it's really just got me hyped to dive even deeper into these great baseball films as the season continues. Now, of course, before we wrap up today's show, we always want to spend some time on our news and notes of the week. And there were a few different exciting things that were going on this week. First and foremost, we got a chance to hear a little bit more from Marvel that's on the way. Of course, the trailers have been everywhere and the advertising is kicked into overdrive for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which is just around the corner. I think the bigger news story this week was we finally got a trailer for Thor: Love and Thunder. Surprising because it's the middle of April. The movie comes out in July and they only gave us a teaser trailer. So we're just barely getting a taste of what Thor: Love and Thunder has in store for us. It looks like Taika Waititi's got another really fun film headed our way. For those of you that never, I hope you saw Thor: Ragnarok. If you didn't, go watch it. It's one of the more fun and kind of punk rock anarchic Marvel films. It's really, really a fun watch. And I'm hoping, and it seems like we're going to get a lot more of the same. We get the trailer with some, I think it was Guns N' Roses, if I remember correct. We get the intersection of Thor as well as the Guardians of the Galaxy, which are featured in the film. We see the first appearance of Jane Foster in the role of the Mighty Thor. So a lot of really exciting things. I'm sure there'll be even more to talk about in a couple of weeks here after Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness comes out, because I'd be shocked if there wasn't some kind of a, you know, post-credit reference as Marvel loves to do with their MCU films. So obviously more on the way from them, kind of a good indicator that we're headed into summer movie season and getting ready for those big blockbusters to hit screens, which is really, really cool. Speaking of big blockbusters, we are finding more and more of them are rushing to streaming these days. So in case you missed it, The Batman, one of the biggest films of 2022 so far, is already on HBO Max about a month and a half after it hit theaters, which is incredibly quick. Obviously last year, all of Warner Brothers films hit HBO Max day and date. They're not doing that this year, but still bringing them onto streaming very, very quickly. So if you did not get your chance to see The Batman, it's now available on HBO Max. I was a huge fan of the film. I thought it was a great opportunity to give us something different than your standard origin story. And it was a really cool mixture of that kind kind of dark detective, you know, Seven, Jigsaw, Zodiac type film. So a big fan of that one. I look forward to investing 3 hours of my future in watching it again now that it's on HBO Max. The other big announcement this week on the streaming front was Jackass Forever, which came to theaters earlier this year. There is already a sequel. Yes, there is a dot five for Jackass, so Jackass 4.5. Of course, the Jackass boys have done this before with, you know, cut stunts and things like that. And it's actually going to be on Netflix next month. So already getting a totally brand new, but really just recuts of failed stunts or alternate attempts or, you know, the things from the cutting room floor. So more Jackass right around the corner, weirdly coming to Netflix and not Paramount Plus, but I'm not going to argue because I have a Netflix subscription. So bring on Jackass 4.5. It'll be fun, I'm sure, for some cheap laughs over a weekend coming up. Wrapping up things on the movie front, we did have a lot of really exciting buzz from A24. Of course, A24 is always a studio that garners a ton of buzz, lots of kind of awards-friendly content. And they've already generated a lot of buzz this year on the horror front with X, the incredible film from the Daniels, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which I'll talk a little bit more about here in a moment. And in front of that, I got a chance to see a trailer for a new film that is coming out soon called Men that's being directed by Alex Garland. For those of you who are not familiar, he was the director of Ex Machina as well as the incredibly underrated Annihilation, one of the most awesome sci-fi films that I've ever seen, and I highly, highly recommend it. If you've not seen the trailer for Men, I know every time I see the trailer in the theater, the title gets a chuckle, I think just because the trailer takes itself very, very seriously, but it looks pretty spooky. It looks pretty intense, kind of in that A24 elevated horror vein. So obviously a lot of exciting stuff coming from them. I'm really, really excited for what they've got on deck and everything A24 is working on. Before we get into any of that, before we get into Doctor Strange, before we get into any more A24 things, the last piece I have is, of course, the movie I'm most excited to check out this week because it comes out this Friday, actually, by the time this podcast is out, and that is The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. If you've not seen this, it's coming from Lionsgate. It's a film that stars Nicolas Cage, where he's playing a fictional version of himself, and Pedro Pascal. So a really funny looking movie. I hope it lives up to the trailers because it looks really, really entertaining. But that's one I know that I'm really looking forward to seeing this week. So shout out to The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, and hopefully it does not suck. As always, we want to wrap things up by turning our attention to the soundtrack, what is in our ears this week. And for me personally, again, I'm still thinking all about baseball. I had an absolute blast in Colorado last week, hanging out with, again, Nate from the Taco Court Fantasy Football Podcast. Also, our friend Tony Cosentino from the 58 West King Podcast and both their families, checking out the Dodgers-Rockies game. Nate did mention that on our previous episode. And man, I can't stop thinking about it. Baseball season's here. It's so cool watching baseball games. You know, we're doing the podcast all about baseball movies. I'm watching the games in the evening. And so, you know, Dodger Blue is running through my blood day in and day out. And so, of course, I could not let a baseball season go by without giving a shout out to the most important soundtrack for any Dodger baseball fan. And it's because it's the soundtrack that plays anytime they win a home game at Dodger Stadium. And it is the Randy Newman classic, I Love LA.
Roll down the window, put down the top, crank up the beats for us, baby. Don't let the we gonna ride it till we just can't ride it no more. From the side bay to the valley, from the west side to the east side, everybody very happy, cause the sun is shining all the time. It's like another perfect day.
So what is living in my head rent-free this week as we wrap things up? I recently got the opportunity twice in the span of about 10 days to watch the film I mentioned earlier from A24, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And God damn, I can't stop thinking about this movie. It is an incredible cinematic achievement. I really am worried that people are going to listen to this and they're going to think that I'm exaggerating or that I'm overhyping it. I took somebody with me the second time I watched it, and I gave them the same level of hype, and they mentioned they were worried I was overhyping it, and they came out of the movie saying, you definitely did not overhype it. It is such an incredible film. For those of you that haven't seen the trailer, first of all, go watch the trailer. But the easiest way I can try to explain this very difficult to explain movie is the film stars Michelle Yeoh, who is absolutely incredible in this movie. She plays both a mother and a wife who runs with her husband a laundromat. They're dealing with some financial challenges, some tax problems, a very funny character, an IRS agent that's played by a, you don't recognize her immediately, Jamie Lee Curtis, and really dives into, like, very quickly this hard sci-fi spin where you find out that her character Evelyn is one of many Evelyns that exists across the multiverse. So yes, a multiversal film that is not made by Marvel Studios. It is an out there movie, but it is absolutely mind-blowing how good this movie is. I laughed till my face hurt. It was so incredibly funny. The ending in particular was incredibly moving. So I went from laughing my ass off to, you know, tears and kind of like feeling very engaged in a very, very warm moment by the end of the film. It's exciting. It's well executed from a cinematic standpoint. The storytelling is compelling and engaging. I cannot say enough about this movie. It is, first of all, I hope Michelle Yeoh gets an Oscar for this movie because her performance is out of this world. I'm calling it right now in April. Everything Everywhere All at Once is the movie of the year. I will not watch a better movie this year. There is no way possible. This movie exceeded my every expectation wildly. It was just so incredibly entertaining. I mentioned it to somebody. I don't know exactly where it fits for me yet, because again, it's still somewhat fresh, but it's definitely now on my all-time favorites list. And I could make a case that it is one of, if not my absolute favorite original film produced in the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, it is that good. It is that entertaining. It is truly an impressive achievement. It's the reason why people go to the movies. You go to the movies to be entertained. You go to the movies to laugh. You go to cry. You go to feel something. You go to, you know, be a part of a story and be enriched by the characters you're spending time with. And I'll be damned if this movie doesn't do every single one of those things flawlessly. If I were to point somebody to an example of what is a great execution of making a film where you're like, you know, look at that, that's a movie, it would be Everything Everywhere All at Once. It just does all of the things that you want a movie to do in very rare form. I guess my last point on the film is this, and then I'll wrap up my rant. A lot of people, even on this podcast, myself and Matt had a conversation about this in our very first episode, the frustration we had with the lack of original storytelling in films, right? Everything is a reboot. Everything is a sequel. Everything is an adaptation. Do yourself a favor and go see this movie in a theater and support a completely wholly original, wildly entertaining film. If you want to see more original content come out of Hollywood, you got to get out and support movies like this. So if you get a chance, I know everybody's lives are different, but if you get a chance, man, run, don't walk, to go see Everything Everywhere All at Once in a theater as soon as you can and support this incredible film. I can't get enough of it. I want to go see it a third time.
What are you doing out here? I'm cruising, man.
I want you to throw the next one at the mascot.
Why? I'm finally throwing it where I want to throw it.
Just throw it at the bull, huh? Trust me.
So thanks once again for joining us for Whiskey Flick. Hit that subscribe button, and if you like what you hear, throw us a review, and that'll help other people find the show. We're going to be back in your feed next Friday as we take another trip around the baseball diamond and get nostalgic with the family favorite, The Sandlot, once again with a special guest on deck, kind of counterbalancing the adult nature of Bull Durham with the family-friendly The Sandlot, which I'm very excited about. As always, we want to hear from you, so remember you can hit us up on social media at WhiskeyFlickPod to join polls or share your takes. Email us at WhiskeyFlickPod@gmail.com or call the Whiskey Flick hotline at 818-660-6369 to be featured on the show. Right now, we really would love to hear from you about your favorite baseball movie, so remember, give us a call, let us know about some of your favorites, and we'll see you on the Sandlot episode in a couple of weeks. As always, we got to give a shout out to some of our favorite pods. So once again, shout out to Nate Molinay from the Taco Court Fantasy Football Podcast. It was awesome to have him on the show. You can check out his show in our show notes. Also got to give some love to the 58 West King Podcast, which Matt is a co-host of with Tony Cosentino. Again, give those guys a listen. Both of those pods are getting ramped back up once again for football season. Of course, you can find the link to both of those in our show notes. You can follow the show at Whiskey Flick Pod on all socials. You can follow me at Terrence Dunn 13 or Matt at GrahamTheMan69 on Twitter. Thanks, as always, for your incredible support of Whiskey Flick. We love that we have you guys listening every week. We really, truly can't thank you enough for all of your support. We'll see you once again next Friday for The Sandlot. Until then, let's keep the whiskey flowing and the flicks going. We'll see you next week. As long as there is whiskey in the world, as long as there is whiskey, as long as there is whiskey, as long as there is whiskey in the world. I know you're smart and I'm proud of you. I want you to make some friends this summer.
Meet Scotty Smalls.
Kale, get it! The kid is a L7 Winnie.
My life's over.
Man, this is baseball. You gotta stop thinking. You just have fun.
Climb trees, hop fences, get into trouble.
Just stand there and stick your glove out in the air. I'll take care of it.
Now he's in.
Yeah! All right!
With the coolest guys in the neighborhood. They've got the look.
Wendy Peppercorn. Wow.
Hey, girls.
They've got the moves. They've got the rap.
Blockhead! Geek! Jerk! Idiot! Moron! You bob for apples in the toilet! And you like it!
You play ball like a girl!
Yeah! Yeah. Yeah.
I got it!
But something else has got their ball.
That wasn't my ball!
Dad's father gave it to him.
Babe Ruth signed that ball.
Babe Ruth!
We gotta get that ball back.
You got any bright ideas?
Initiate retrieval section number one.
Power connect. Come on, help me, it's heavy.
Now.
Fire!
Doggy.
20th Century Fox presents...
Hey, guys, it's the Sandlot Babies.
You're the ones that are making all that racket.
A lifetime of adventure.
Come on, Squid, you can do it. Pull through, bud. Little pervert. Gila.
The Sandlot. A little piece of paradise, a half a block wide, and a whole season long.
Scotty, have you made any friends yet?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom.
Gotta pee, BRB.
I do too.
That's why I ran earlier. I was like, I gotta piss, and then I'm peeing, and I'm like, stop peeing.